is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
State of the Union. When it comes to the balloon, Senator Hawley of Missouri is unhappy with the president's remarks. Senator Hawley has been quoted as saying, I mean, how was it that China was allowed to fly this tool of espionage across the continental United States, including the state of Missouri, and that his administration did nothing about it? I welcome Steve Yates of the America First Policy Institute's new China policy initiative, because China indeed has issued a provocation, the balloon in North America, the balloon in South America. We're told this is a program. We're told from Washington confirmed that our intelligence knows that this is a People's Liberation Army surveillance program, nothing to do with meteorological research, which was the first falsehood told by the foreign ministry. The second falsehood told by the foreign ministry was we will retaliate, and other falsehoods continue. We welcome Steve Yates to comment on this only because the first thought, the second thought, and the third thought, always when China is being provocative, is Taiwan. Steve, the senator is unhappy. Many voices were unhappy with the president's response. What can you tell us about Taiwan and its sense of security that the United States has at this point not demonstrated clarity or firmness with regard to the provocation? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Well, of course, everything that a president does or does not do sends signals out into the world. And those who are in distress, especially those in close proximity to a big bully, watch very, very carefully at all of the signals. Behind the scenes, there may be messages conveyed, but it matters what a president says from his bully pulpit, from the White House and from the State of the Union. The fact that there was a mere maybe 30 to 60 seconds mention of things China, no mention of Taiwan or support for deterrence in the East Asia theater, only a mention of if China provokes or challenges our sovereignty, I will respond, and did. He didn't respond until this balloon transited the entire continental United States, completed its mission, and went out into Atlantic space. And so it is, I think, provocative weakness. Taiwan, of course, has been heavily surveilled, no doubt by a multitude of different devices, including these kinds of balloons. And so seeing kind of the quiet until it's all too late, I think, is not very reassuring to Taiwan.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, you refer to the passage of the balloon. Biden in the State of the Union last night said that he wanted competition, not conflict with China. It seems that that thought was at least a decade out of date. And it's also, it appears that the president should have used his 10 or 20 or 30 seconds on China to say, yeah, we're not at peace with the Chinese. They don't want peace, and we've got to defend ourselves. And that was a missed opportunity. And I think history will look at this speech, although it's gotten a lot of praise from the elite in this country. I think the history will look at this speech as not only a missed opportunity, but a failure to defend the United States.
Right. I think a majority, from all the polling we've been able to see, and from the use of artificial intelligence to kind of watch what people post online to gauge their opinions, the American people and likely voters say in 60+% margins that they think President Biden is mishandling the relationship with China. It's going in the wrong direction. The president would have done himself a huge favor if he would have just clearly said he wanted to move the relationship in this particular direction, but China's leaders appear to be going in the opposite direction, and we have to face that fact together. Just speaking the truth about China being the revisionist would have done him a huge favor, but he chose not to take that opportunity.
The immediate consequence of the balloon was Secretary Blinken postponed his mission to meet with Xi Jinping. Is that of significance with regard to Taiwan? Does that change the direction that what we're now dealing with is something like the U-2 incident of 1960, when Khrushchev and Eisenhower were scheduled to meet, except for the capture of and trial of Gary Powers set that aside for the balance of the Eisenhower administration. And what followed, Steve, as we all know from the Cold War, was violence, lots of violence. The Berlin Wall, the nuclear weapons testing, and then the Bay of Pigs. Violence followed the postponement.
Well, I definitely fear that that is a risk in the trajectory we are on. I don't think that any visit by a Secretary of State was going to change the calculus that China under Xi Jinping have already arrived at with regard to their approach to Taiwan and whether they see a moment of opportunity. The fact that they were able to kind of pin down the United States in division and confusion and apparent weakness over the course of the last week with just a balloon, I think is actually a dangerous signal that they might think that the near term they have even better options to press and maybe engage in conflict.
Gordon, I ask you that question. May of 60, repeatedly, Gerard Baker in the Wall Street Journal column mentioned it specifically within hours of the revelation of the balloon. Gary Powers' trial ended the rapprochement that Eisenhower started late in his term. Does this end the detente rapprochement talk that's been going on, Gordon, or does it continue regardless?
I think the Biden administration will try to continue it regardless, and China will continue for a long time to play hard to get. We've seen this pattern in the past. In the immediate wake of this incident, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin called the Chinese defense minister, who, by the way, is a far more junior official than the Secretary of Defense. In the Chinese system, Lloyd Austin's counterpart is actually Xi Jinping. But putting that aside for the moment, this lower level official in China refused to take the call. And that's a real sense of, we desperately tried to talk to China. And indeed, the Lloyd Austin's office said, we will continue to try to communicate with China. This is really wrong, Steve, because it strikes me that here we have a United States that is desperately, desperately trying to maintain lines of communication with a regime that does not want to talk to us. So, John, yeah, the Biden administration is not going to change course because this is ideological, as Steve has pointed out in the past.
You have a question for Steve, Gordon.
Steve, why don't you comment on that?
Well, I do fear that this is ideological, and the administration has come in with a different set of priorities. The president reinforced those in the State of the Union, saying that climate change and a couple of other issues were his top priorities. It was not a vigorous engagement in trying to contain or defeat these revisionist powers, and primarily one big revisionist power in the world. It was met with laughter and kind of disdain or bemusement generally by the audience in the chamber, at least half of the chamber. And it's a real, real problem. And the Chinese are ideological about this, too. This is not up for negotiation. Only power will delay or thwart their near-term efforts.
Steve, if it happens again, when it happens again, what does Taiwan learn from this? We have about a minute.
Well, I think the major risk of escalation is that if you are allowed to operate with these balloons with impunity, which the United States seems to have given the impression it's okay until it's completed its mission, anything can be onboarded to those devices. And it just opens the Pandora's box for other kinds of intrusions. It's a psychological warfare tool. It is an actual warfare tool and a profound nuisance. I think that is just the terrible trajectory our dear leadership has put us on.
Steve Yates is the America First Policy Institute's New China Policy Initiative Chair. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek at The Hill. I'm John Batchelor.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.